Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Man, we talked about this before I went on. At this point in my Bears fandom, bro, I'm disgusted, bro. I'm dejected. I'm disgusted. I'm tired. Like, sometimes you need a mental break. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're in a bad relationship or something. You just need, like, I need a break from y'all, bro. That last game, there's a Hail Mary game before that, because we didn't talk about that. That was bad, bro. That was bad, and that kind of, like, already was on the edge, and I came back last week with a little bit of positivity and got that positivity taken away fairly quickly. And I'm going to let y'all have it, man, because Brian ain't got the energy to talk about these motherfuckers right now.
I do. I got a lot of energy to talk about these motherfuckers.
Let's go.
I'm going to be dead ass serious. You know, I'm going to be as blatant and as honest as I can. And like I told people before, you may not like what I have to say, but it needs to be said. The Detroit Lions only took them 2 years to rebuild, and they were in an NFC championship. Let that sink in for a minute. Only 2 years to rebuild. This was the worst fucking team in football. May I remind you, the worst team in football. It only took them 2 years to rebuild as soon as they got the GM, the understudy that came from the Los Angeles Rams. The Washington Commanders picked one pick after us at number two, has already revamped their entire fucking team and is pushing for a championship run right now in one offseason. And all they did, change the owner, change general managers. But what did they do with their rookie quarterback? What did they give him? They gave him a new what? Head coach, right? They didn't stick him with the same shit from last year that wasn't winning. They said, no, we're going to start anew. I don't give a fuck about roster turnover, because roster turnover don't mean shit to me when it don't yield fruit. We are in the same position that we're in year three of this rebuild now and miss another year of the playoffs of this supposed rebuild. So who do we point the finger at? Because Justin's gone, folks. We can't blame him. He's gone. Okay? I mean, shit, we can't, we fucking can't blame Matt Nagy. He's gone. We can't blame fucking dumbass who got fired this the other day, because he's gone. So who do we blame?
Lou Getz, yeah. You talking about?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So real talk, who do we blame? You know what I'm saying?
That dude got fired twice in 10 months, bro.
Absolutely, he deserves it. He definitely deserves it. But again, we can't blame Lou Getzey. We can't blame our former defensive coordinator. So who do we blame? I mean, shit, Flus can't fire himself, right? So we can't really fault him, because he's been who he's been from day one. He's shown you who he has been. So who do we blame? Who do we blame? It's only one person. It's only one person to me. Actually, two. Because them two, the two stooges that's sitting up there, look, people say, oh, don't bag on polls. You know, people say, don't bag on polls. Fuck that. Because somebody at the top has to take the blame at the end of the day. If something isn't working and you knew it wasn't working, you want to say, oh, run that shit back. Why would you run it back with the same motherfucker that you knew couldn't get it done. You apply the logic to quarterback and say, well, I feel that we could be better at quarterback. So that's why I went and got Caleb Williams. But you didn't feel that we could be better at head coach when it was better coaches available? I have to blame Poles on this, man. He is not absolved from blame here. And he gets a huge heap of blame. Him and his boy Ian Cunningham. Because, again, I want y'all to understand this. Because I'm really not going on my real tangent, you know, dropping F-bombs and going crazy and whatnot. But I could, and I would be justified. But, however, this is why we told you this team was not a quarterback away. Justin Fields, and again, people, oh, here they go with the Justin Fields thing. No, listen to what we're saying and stop being ignorant, okay? Because we listen to your side, listen to ours. Well, mine. I can't speak for the other two, but I'm going to speak for my side of things. Justin Fields potentially could have got us 10 wins last season. Three of those games that we should have got, that should have got us 10 wins, the defense blew. Who was to blame for that? Who called the defense? Eberflus. Okay, so whatever. But still, Justin hid a lot of inefficiencies on this offense. Okay, the offensive line that y'all said could block if a quarterback had a quicker release. Well, the motherfucker got sacked 6 times against the Arizona Cardinals.
We told him, I couldn't believe he
made it that. Well, no, but wait, it's because Justin's release isn't quick. So the offensive line is blocking. They're giving him the time. Really? Okay, well, 6 sacks yesterday. And how many times did he get sacked against the Commanders? He's on pace to be one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league yet again.
The Texans.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's on pace to be sacked. He's on pace to be the most sacked quarterback in the league once again. So you tell us it's the quarterback that's why the offensive line is looking bad, which we all know is BS. Okay, if you would have kept Justin, traded the picks, you could have built your offensive line, at least added 2 blue chip pieces to that offensive line this year.
Two.
The reason why I say 2 is because of the fact of you probably would have took Marvin Harrison Jr. and you probably could have got Joe Alt. And then in the second round, you could have grabbed the blue chip center from Michigan or the blue chip center from West Virginia. Because you would have got a second round pick if you would have traded that number one pick. You probably would have swapped number ones, would have got next year's number one and probably a number two.
And we'd be sitting here with 2 number ones this year, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then, therefore, you would have already had your left tackle. You would have already had your center. You already got your right tackle that you got last year. All you had to do was go guard. All you had to do was replace Nate Davis and possibly and re-sign Tevin Jenkins.
But remember, we had that discussion where we said you can go the Detroit Lions or the Philadelphia Eagles route and just build a super team.
Absolutely.
Around a quarterback might be above average.
A juggernaut, that's what I want.
Yeah.
A complete juggernaut around it. And Justin Fields was like above average quarterback, and then you just put nothing but blue chip around him.
Absolutely.
And you'll win.
Absolutely. You'll come in. Because Brock Purdy is above average quarterback, folks. Mm-hmm. He's not elite. He's above average quarterback.
Jared Goff is not elite.
He's above average. Everybody is chasing this Patrick Mahomes dream, folks. That is a dream. Motherfuckers like that ain't laying on the shelf. That's once in a lifetime talent right there. It's very rare. Very, very rare. But everybody thinks it's a Patrick Mahomes in every draft. Why do you think so many quarterbacks are out of starting positions and to the point, out of starting positions and actually damn near out of the league?
That's true.
Why are people understanding that? It's very hard to nail that position. So when you get something that's above average, you fucking stick with it. You don't get rid of that to chase another dream. People talking about, he threw for 300 yards and he did this. Okay, well, Justin threw for 300 against the Denver Broncos with a back-to-back games and the Washington Commanders. Your point? Your point. Again, when I say empty calories, I don't care what Caleb does against the bottom feeders of the NFL. And this is what I stated in the last podcast. The problem that I have is the fact that we may have the same issues with him that he had at USC. He could never beat the top team when he was at fucking Oklahoma. The only team he beat was Texas. They wasn't shit. He could never beat the elite teams when he was in college. People forget to turn a blind eye to this.
Texas was good.
Not that year. They was good up until that point. They lost. And then when they lost,
they was dragging them. They was dragging them in that first half.
And then they lost. But what I'm saying is, that season,
he got hot in that
the wheels fell off.
Can't take that away from him, though.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? But that season, the wheels fell off. And this ain't bagging on Caleb, but this is what I saw in the years of him being a starter. He hasn't beaten the elite teams. But yet, people want to give him praise. Oh, he's better than Justin Fields now. How? How? Because last I checked, if this was Justin Fields going into the fourth quarter with 38 passing yards, y'all would be... Oh, my God. Need we bring this up? His stat line is awful. Awful. If you take away the game, and again, he threw for what, 40? He had 40-something passing attempts against the Cardinals. 42, I think. 42 or 43.
40. I thought it was.
Or was it 47? It was something ridiculous.
No, 40. It was something like that. It was like, I think he was right above 50%.
With a 5.6 yard average. 5.6.
I want to give a caveat before Dan go in there. This is my issue with the Bears, bro. And I know Dan want to say his piece. The Bears don't know how to develop quarterbacks, bro. Because like a good organization, like a real good organization, they wouldn't have just took Caleb and thrown him in there like he would have got drafted. He would have they would have changed his footwork. They would have built the team around him. And then they would have put him in there. Like, we just keep doing the same thing, bro. Like, or what you would have done, you would have fired Flus. We said this. The Bears always do this, right? The Bears hired, they draft a quarterback with a lame duck coach. Lame duck coach can't develop quarterback. They fire lame duck coach. Rookie quarterback going into his second year with his second, third offense they've learned in the 3 years, bro. It's the same cycle, bro. They do the same dumb thing with Trubisky. Did the same thing with
Justin Fields.
Fields, they're doing it in Caleb Williams. Hell, he even did it with Jay Cutler. He wasn't a rookie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many offensive coordinators did he have? It's like they just can't get it right, bro. That's why I'm disgusted and ejected. It's the same cycle we seeing over and over and over. Mm-hmm. You know?
But wait. Arch Manning's coming out. He'll fix everything. All we got to do is go get Arch. Arch will fix it all. And Caleb Bust Williams, we'll ship him off and we'll go with Arch Manning. And exactly. Arch Manning will take us to the promised land because we're a quarterback away. We're just a quarterback away.
QB Jesus, baby.
Fucking mouth breathers.
So what can I say about this whole situation, right? I agree with some of what Dan said. I agree with some of what Will said as well. But I gotta be honest too. I gotta throw something else in here into this conversation that I've been thinking about. And I spent a little bit of time on it. I'm gonna blame the fans. We wanna point fingers at somebody, we blame the fans. I'm blaming the fans, not we. I'm blaming the fans. And I also blame Holes and Eberflus to a degree. Holes not so much, but Eberflus, yes, very much. But the fans more so than anybody, because the fans outraged, the fans crying, the fans moaning and complaining and doing everything that they do every single freaking week. Every week it's the same stuff. This is what you get. And because the fan base, the media in Chicago as well, right? The local media, I blame them as well, because they make situations out of nothing. They make situations pop up that don't need to happen. And they call into question guys and, you know, their effort and everything like that. And it just adds to the headache that is the Chicago Bears football team right now with what they got going on. And then why I say I blame Holes and Eberflus to a certain degree is because they acquiesce to the fans. They let the fans dictate some of the decisions that they make on the regular. This is what we've been seeing now for a couple of, I've seen it a couple of times. the fans moaning and crying and crapping on Justin Fields. Now you move off of him without really thinking that situation through. And I'm not here. Don't hop in my mentions coming in. Oh, Justin Fields is not good. He's weak.
He's not starting, good. Dan. He's not starting. He's a backup.
Caleb Williams is the man. I'm not saying anybody's better than anybody. I'm not saying none of that. I'm not comparing the two quarterbacks. What I'm saying is this team had deficiencies elsewhere.
And you could have won with Justin.
To be addressed. That needed to be addressed. Right? Now, Nez, you pointed out that, you know, you look at Detroit and they are in the NFC Championship. It didn't take them long, 2 or 3 years, and they right there. They rolling right now. You know what I mean? So on and so forth. And then you look at Washington. Now I'm gonna throw this out there too. When it comes to Detroit, bro, they had a head start. They had a head start because they got a quarterback in Jared Goff who was decent. They put pieces around him, and they got a haul back for that trade when they sent Matt Stafford, right? So they was able to solidify their offensive line, their defensive line. You know what I mean? They were able to do all kinds of things with it. Now, Poles came into this situation. He had no first-round pick. He had no second-round pick. He traded back into the second round to get in there, right? Didn't he? That first year, I believe. So you gotta figure that into it too, right? He didn't walk in and have Matt Stafford that he could dangle out there for L.A. who wanted to get a quarterback so that they could win the Super Bowl, right? So he didn't have that. He didn't, you know, he walked in and he had what he had. He had just gotten Justin Fields, right? And that was a product of the old regime off of his rookie year. So there's no top-notch player at that position that you can dangle out there and get stuff back for. So I can't compare them. To me, it's comparing apples and oranges, and they had a head start in that regard. Washington, you know what I mean? Washington is good, but I ain't sold on Washington yet. They beat us with a Hail Mary, bro. You know what I'm saying? What's to say they don't lose 2 or 3 straight games? What's to say they don't lose to Dallas? They will do that. They will. It's Washington after all. So until they do it and they do it and they make the playoffs and do all this and that, I'm not going to put them above anybody. We'll have to see that whole thing through. But like I said, I blame the fans, and they're doing it now. They're complaining now. They're crying now. Dog, we 4-4. I'm pissed off too. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Because some of the stuff that's happening shouldn't be happening. And I was a proponent. I was a person that said, hey, I'm cool with them keeping Eberflus because they ended the season 5-2. He had the defense plan. It seemed like the team was bought in. And I'm like, okay, he working with something. So I could understand why they kept him. But then you look at it and it's hindsight 2020 now, and it's like, dang, bro, like, you know, I looked at the game that we lost. And the mistakes that he made in with that Hail Mary, you know, and then the scapegoating of players, it reminds me of Nagy. He doesn't accept responsibility. You know what I'm saying? That's what's pissing me off. Like, bro, you scapegoat Tyree Stevenson, and a lot of the fans was piling on him, right? They wanted to see blood. They would suspend him, fine him, suspend him, everything. Bro, you could have did it. You could have did it quietly. You should have did it quietly if you wasn't going to take responsibility for your blunders in the same doggone game. Because at the end of the day, nobody on your coaching staff saw Tyreek Stevenson not paying attention. You had 3 timeouts. You could have took one, but nobody saw that. So y'all were lax. Y'all were lax. Y'all neglected your job in that situation. And then on the previous play, you gave up a 15-yard pass, which put him in position to throw the doggone thing. Matter of fact, his pass came up short of the end zone. It was tipped into the end zone.
I got another thing.
So if you didn't complete that 15-yard pass, what would have happened? He would have threw that ball to the 20-yard line. And at the 20-yard line, somebody got to catch the ball, make a stiff arm, break a tackle, and get into the end zone.
Also,
and
then Dan,
you're stupid.
How much time do you have to throw it?
On, 13 seconds.
And Montez Sweat wasn't even in the damn game.
Montez Sweat's not in the game. You rush three people and you got a spy. Why the hell you got a spy, bro?
Why do you have a spy?
Why do you have a spy?
Make him blitz. Now he has 13 seconds to throw the damn ball.
TJ just standing there in the middle of the field, just looking around like come on, man. I'm just sitting there like this is... And you look at it, it's like he's a good defensive coach, right? Defensive coordinator, because the defense has been playing great. But in situations, he is horrible, bro. He is the worst. It don't get no worse than him. In situational football, it doesn't get any worse. And to me, I looked at that game. I said, okay, this is a game. Once again, we had a 92-93% chance of winning the game at that point, right? And we gave the game away. We lost it. And it made me think back to three games last year where we had a 91-96-98% chance of winning. One of the games I was at, we went up 12 with 2 minutes to go, 2 minutes and some change, and we give up two touchdowns in that amount of time. Two touchdown drives at that. So once again, this is on Eberflus. I blame him, and I blame Poles a little bit to a certain degree, because to me they acquiesce to the fan base. I don't want my front office, I don't want my coaching staff, I don't want anybody letting the fans dictate or be pressured into making a decision.
Was it the fans or was it Chicago media? Because the Chicago fans was at the stadium cheering and chanting "We want Fields." It was the media saying we need to move on and grab Caleb Williams.
It's both of them.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because
they were the mouthpiece. Danny Parkins, you know.
Exactly. In this situation, I think they wanted blood from Tyreek Stevenson just because he was jawjacking with the crowd. But nobody pays attention to all the other situations that went on. We should have never been in that situation to begin with. Straight up.
That's a fact.
So if they don't take responsibility, and in fact, you know, you're they double down on it. You think about all the plays that went wrong. They ran two quarterback draws on second and third down. They lucked up in getting that pass interference call. The dude grabbed Keenan around the waist or whatever. If that didn't happen, we would have been screwed on that. We end up getting that situation. Then you run Doug Kramer, a backup center. Hand the ball off to a backup center, right?
Oh.
This is what I'm talking about. It's ridiculous, bro. And you do that with 6 minutes in the fourth quarter to go, or 7 minutes in the fourth quarter to go, and you do that, you're down. That's a play you pull out when you're up. That's a play. Maybe you do it in the second quarter. You know what I mean? Whatever, because you still got a lot of game to play. But when we're down, possessions are limited in the NFL. And when a player is down, you know this, Devory. When you playing football, you playing as a wide receiver. If you're down, the only thing you're thinking of is not how much we're down by. How many possessions do we get? How many opportunities? How many cracks at it do we get?
Absolutely.
And if we running low on possessions, we're not going to get the ball back, then we need to make something happen right now.
Absolutely.
And that was the problem with Chicago. So it's like they got a situational football is a problem. And when you're losing games like this, every single game, bro, we lost the first three games we lost this year was by 6 points or less. That means you can't, you know, you're not doing something right as a coaching staff. And I never see them take that responsibility. But you want to point the finger at your players. Keep this in-house, blah, 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 this, that, and the third. Man, whatever with that, bro. And to me, the way the defense played last week lets me know, it kind of puts it in my mind that Eberflus is losing that defense a little bit. Because the defense is what kept you in this every single game this year. Now, Tyreek made a mistake. I think you could have kept that in-house. I believe that you could have, but you wanted to make an example out of him. You wanted to do, you know, whatever you wanted to do in that situation. And the fans and the media was clamoring for it. And I think you acquiesced, you tried to appease them, you know. I think that was bogus, straight up.
Absolutely. As you heard them say before, when they asked, when they asked DJ Moore, do you feel that, you know, the coach has lost this locker room? He said, I would want to say no. He was like, I will hope to say no.
I want to say no.
But yeah, he knows what it is. He knows that they lost this locker room. I would want to say no. It was a play where Caleb scrambled to the left. Did y'all see that? I think I sent it to in the chat. Where Caleb scrambled to the left, DJ Moore was coming back to the ball, and Caleb scrambled to the right. DJ Moore just walked straight to the bench. Like, man, I'm
on. It looked like he tweaked his ankle.
It looked like he tweaked a little bit, but he came back and played. You know what I'm saying?
But Chris Long went off on that. That falls on.
I mean, he thought he was down. I'm not giving him a pass because you don't walk off the field like that. That was bogus. But it looked like he thought Caleb was about to get tackled or pushed out of bounds or whatever. He stayed up and scrambled more, and DJ went and sat on the bench.
Yeah.
He was literally sitting down when he threw the ball.
Yeah, Chris Long went off about that.
That's stupid.
Chris Long went off, bro.
But this is what you have, though. That's what you have.
And DJ's never been a problem. Anywhere he's been, he's never. He's as bad as Carolina was, he was never a problem.
But you got to think, he's probably just tired of losing, bro. Yes. Like, the man has never had a winning season in his career.
He's tired of that, and he's also tired of working with rookie quarterbacks.
Bro. Yes. Like, and that's why he advocated for Poles to keep Fields. You know,
he probably felt like Fields was a little bit developed, like you said, and you know, like I said, I'm not here to debate who's better. I'm really not. You know what I'm saying? That's not what my job is right now. But I'm just talking about, you had more holes in this team. You had more holes in this roster. You could have plugged a lot of stuff that you're having problems with. We got gashed last week. 9 yards per carry to over 213 yards rushing.
That 50 some odd yard touchdown run right before the half was inexcusable.
We need a defensive tackle.
That was inexcusable.
Yeah,
that made me sick. That was another one, bro. I was like,
I turned it off after that. But I was like, man, these motherfuckers finna get waxed.
I went to the mall. I was like, fuck this, dude. I got better shit to do with my time. Watch this dumb shit, dude. Yeah, one of my boys, I saw him in the gym. He was like, see, that's bad coaches. He said, you know what, Belichick would have rushed 5. He's like, you ain't better throw the ball 80 yards down the damn field. I'm going to send a blitzer, and you're going to get sacked, and you go chuck it up.
Yep.
That's it. You ain't gonna have time to sit back and wind all the way up. You're going to make that pass on the run, run into the sideline and hope somebody catches short, and then run it all the way in. What the hell you got a spot for? And I was like, I know, bro.
Look what Detroit did the previous week. They sent rushes. They sent 4 or 5 guys, and they got a sack out of it.
I'm not going to allow you to set up and throw deep. I'm still coming after you.
That's crazy. He walking around back there dancing, you know, and they send 3 guys, 3 rushes. Well, don't send nobody.
You might as well drop everybody.
Drop 11 back.
just drop all that. Just put them all on the goal line, bro. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, what?
Let him run. And then what he going to do? Then he runs. He starts running and breaks the line of scrimmage. Then you just tackle his ass. Like, what you going to do,
tackle
bro?
Him, yeah.
It's a waste of time, dude.
Ridiculous.
That shit is crazy. But, yeah, who the fuck we play this week?
I ain't never seen nobody lose their mind in crunch situations, bro. Like literally just Chris Webber, that joint. That's what he do.
Yeah.
Difficult times, you know, his palms get wet, you know what I mean? Start getting scary, bro.
We got the Patriots this week.
Hey, we got the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's not a gimme.
No, man. I mean, that's the thing about it is we 4-4. But like, it's almost at the point where you start like, you don't want them to win because you want even Flus to get fired.
Absolutely.
You know, it sucks. We at that stage where you're like, I don't want this mug to go 10-8, bro. 10-7. I want them to, you know what I mean? Because they're going to keep them.
But you know what's real? I mean, in all honesty, though, I don't see us, after that Patriots game, I don't see us winning another game the rest of the year if we get that one. I just don't see the way that schedule set up. I just don't see us winning another game the rest of the year.
Oh, they gonna win another game
after the Patriots.
Yeah, they gonna win
some. Who they gonna beat?
It's the NFL, bro.
I'm just saying, who they gonna beat?
That they lost two games in a row. How many games we got left?
We got 9 games. I think they got
10 games straight. That's crazy, bro.
Look,
I'm telling you, even if that stupid coaching, they still at least got some talent. They gonna catch somebody slipping, bro.
Okay, listen. And the reason why I say this is because you at least last year, right? We were winning games that we probably shouldn't have won because what? We had a weapon that when everything else failed, he could take off and run, and it would be a true threat, right? Something that defenses had to account for. Something. Who the fuck do we got to account for when the passing play ain't open? Who do we have? We ain't got shit.
We got people. They can't. Well, let's think about this. They ain't even utilizing Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet has 0 catches.
So.
0 targets, 0 right. yards. I mean, bro, come on, man. Like,
yes. So again, I believe our schedule after the Patriots is Green Bay, and then Detroit, and then I want to say the Niners, and then the Vikings, and then Green Bay, Detroit again, and then Seattle. Do you see us beating any of them? Because I don't. I really don't. In neither situation, home or away, we don't have it.
No. We're not gonna lose all division games, bro. It's not
shit, bruh. I'm being dead serious, fam. Because guess what? Those 3 teams are playing for something. All right.
Yeah, that's fine, and the Bears are too.
They 4-4. Yeah, they
4-4. They're not out of the playoff picture. Let's not get it twisted.
Listen, fellas, I'm being honest. Who have we beat to make you feel confident?
It don't matter. It don't matter who you beat. The NFL. All that matters is the team changes. It morphs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Through the year, so they can exponentially grow. They can grow.
I don't know. I just don't see them losing.
I don't see it.
Straight games.
I'm not saying they will. I'm not saying they will.
That's actually hard. It's hard to lose 11 straight games in the NFL, bro. It might be harder to lose 11 straight games than win 11 straight games in the NFL.
Man, in my opinion. I don't want them to lose 11 straight games.
No.
Because I don't want. Because I'm gonna be like,
we shutting down the podcast and make sure. Because I ain't gonna talk about this.
Listen.
We're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about fashion.
Yeah, we got to talk about – we're going to be holding the pod talking about the latest kicks, the latest music that dropped,
yeah,
all kind of stuff.
I'm like,
I'm being dead serious when I say this.
They lose 10 in a row, bro.
Listen, I'm being dead serious when I say this because, again, before we ran up on Arizona, I said Arizona has something to play for. They are a dangerous team. Because they know that they have an opportunity to win the NFC West. We gonna go out there and get dog walked. And what happened? We went out there and got dog walked. Why? Because they had something to play for and we didn't.
I think that
Commanders game was a backbreaker
because of the coaching. And we got dog walked. And not only that, but this is another thing. I'm not gonna let Caleb get a pass on this either. Because
we said 10 wins.
A lot of people, huh?
We said 10 wins. We said we want to see 10. I don't want to. If he can't do it,
I mean, we had 7. We should have had 10 last year. So yeah. It's like, hey, I need 9 or 10 this year, right? That's what I was looking at with the weapons that you got. With people saying that he was this guy, and I told people this, like Bears fans are weird, bro, because they saw the shiny toy. They saw Caleb Williams. And it's like, okay, he's got his talents. He can make every throw on the field. You know what I mean? You can't take that away from him. He's got an arm.
He's talented as hell.
He can maneuver in the pocket. He can do some things, right? He can extend plays and off platform. He's good sometimes. But in the NFL, you can't do that often, right? And that's his problem. He hasn't figured out yet that you can't play Superman every single play. You can't be Superman every down. You can't walk in the sacks, right? He gonna get himself hurt doing that junk, bro. I'm just being honest. And then it's not only that, but the guys on the team, when you're running around back there and you're doing this and that, you make the job harder on the offensive line. The offensive line is already banged up. They're already suspect to begin with, right? You make it more difficult because if I'm blocking one way and you're running around behind me and you change direction, blah, 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 this, that, and, you know, going back and forth, now my block becomes an automatic hole every time. Every time it becomes an automatic hole. So you make it difficult because they got to watch where he's going, but at the same time be trying to block somebody. And that's what people don't realize on the football field. You can run around back there, but you're going to get your offensive lineman in trouble doing that too, right? And so that's why a lot of those plays where you see a guy scrambling or whatever, a lot of times it gets called back. Just look at it. Many times that play gets called back. I'm not saying the Bears. I'm just talking about across the league. Those type of plays get called back quite often because somebody, because of change of direction, was holding. You know, and then you got your wide receivers. They still haven't figured out. I think Rome is probably the only one that really has kind of connected to where if Caleb is, you know, dancing or whatever, then he's looking Rome's way and Rome kind of makes himself available. I don't think DJ and I don't think Keenan Allen have connected with him on that level yet.
Let's talk about that throw to Rome that he grossly underthrew, which should have been a walk-in touchdown.
You're talking about. Oh, man, there's a couple of them, bro.
The deep ball.
Okay, the deep ball. Yeah.
That should have been a touchdown.
You got that? I mean, you got so many throws, bro. Like, I've been saying his deep ball accuracy is terrible. And he's trying to make, you know, the sidearm throw that he threw. He didn't have to throw a sidearm. It's like, why'd you do that? I don't even know why he did it. What'd you do it for? You're trying to look smooth. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to just play the game of football normal. Just play. You know what I'm saying? Stop doing all that nonsense.
Goes to Patrick Mahomes, man.
Man, I mean, you know.
Trying to make wild throws instead of just playing. It is what it is.
He won't take the check down. He had Johnson in the middle of the field one time. He had DJ cutting across the field wide open. He could have walked in for a touchdown. He threw a fade to Keenan Allen, though.
Yeah.
You know, threw it into double coverage another time when somebody was wide open. It's like, what are you doing, man? What's going on? So all that stuff that people told me, he can see the field, he goes through his progression, his footwork is perfect, he's elite. Bro, none of that is perfect. None of that is elite. He got to work on all those aspects of his game.
Yeah, they were listening. I was asking these some people, man. I was like, and I think Caleb was a good player. And I think if they put him in a right situation, he can be a hell of a player. He can be a Pro Bowl quarterback. Yeah. But you they're not putting him in a position.
It's not only that, though. Somebody got to get a hold of him and say, bro, you can't do this.
That's what I'm saying, is that that's part of it, not just the play calling, because I think fans think it's just play calling. He needs to have some offensive structure with a quarterback coach. The OC is like, you can't do that. This guy is open. Yeah. But I think fools are so worried about their careers and keeping a job, they probably not doing that.
That's true.
They trying to appease him. Yeah, they trying to coach him.
Yeah, instead of trying to coach him, and that's the point of having the right coaching staff and the right team and the right culture already in place when you bring in this young quarterback.
Eric Bieniemy.
Yes, it's not all on him, and they're just teaching. Even if he's playing, he's getting coached.
Eric Bieniemy.
You know who's getting coached? Jaden Daniels. Quinn is a hell of a coach. He was a hell of a coach in Atlanta. And we already knew that. He went back to when he was D coordinator. Where'd he go back? He went to
Seattle.
He went to Seattle.
He went to Cowboys.
And then he was a hell of a coach there. Some people are just good coaches, but because he wasn't an offensive guru, but he knows how to put together a staff. And he interviewed with us. And he said, I know how to put together a staff. What did he do? He got Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Who probably should have been our offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Ain't that shit crazy? It's like,
but that's what the Bears do, bro.
They do crazy shit and then justify it with more stupid shit. Like,
yeah.
What? That's what I'm telling people. Like, you don't have to have, you know, this whole dream that now you got an
offensive mind as a head coach.
It's not true, because look at what Dan Quinn's doing. Look what, you know,
coaching Buffalo.
You know, everybody knows Dan Campbell is not an offensive guru, right? Yeah. He's not an offensive guru. But he put together his staff. His staff is flawless, right? They got positional coaches, coordinators that are good. Everything is working. So it's like, you know, you're only as good as what you surround yourself with. You surround yourself with smart people, you become the smartest guy in the room. And that's the problem. That's the Bears' problem right now. We can't figure out – how to get defensive, offensive coordinators that are worthwhile. We're missing something. We're not doing our due diligence when it comes to the interview process. It's got to be, or you're just not good at noticing it. Maybe you should just be a defensive coordinator. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder what be going on through these hiring processes, right? Where they be having the right guy in the room. Like, who be asking, like, who be asking the questions? And, you know, when they leave, who makes the decision at the end of the day? Because, again, this is Eberflus' second coaching staff.
I think they got to agree on it. I think how it goes, and I'm not in the room, of course, but I figure that the GM and the head coach kind of like have to agree on a vision that they see for what you want, you know, the team to be. Because the GM, his main responsibility is get the ingredients, get the players in there, right? That's his main responsibility. Once I hired you as head coach, it's your staff to put together. But we need to have the same vision. We all have to have the same vision. So if that's the case, I think that's what it is. So I put more of the hires, I put it on Flus more so than Poles. I don't think Poles is probably like, okay, is this the guy you want? You know what I mean? Like, what's his vision? You know, you probably interview him too, of course. But I think the final decision on coaching staff, in my opinion, should be the head coach.
Yeah,
because if I'm gonna be, you know, you're not gonna saddle me with somebody that I don't want on my team, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or part of my coaching staff, or somebody that's gonna undermine me or whatever. So, you know.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. It's the head coach.
Yeah. That shit is wild. It's wild to me. Because how could you have Cliff Kingsbury in the room? Someone who has openly worked with Caleb, gotten, I think Cliff Kingsbury was his offensive coordinator when he won the Heisman. I believe he was a part of him, a part of that when he won the USC. Heisman.
He was at USC. No.
Yeah, Cliff was at USC.
He was at USC.
Caleb was there?
Yeah. He was the offense coordinator. That's why they interviewed him, because they were asking about Caleb.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So he was the offense coordinator.
Which I didn't understand that, and I'm like,
You know why? Because Matt Eberflus wanted to stick to a Shanahan-style offense. Instead of saying, because Kingsbury run a different type of offense, instead of just saying, you know what, scratch that. We just going to hire this guy because he coached him in college. He can come in and run the same stuff he's running in college.
Exactly.
It's a clean slate, so you ain't get fired, so freak it. Change the offense, and I'm going to give him full reign in the offense. And now we would have, you know, we'd be 7-whatever right now.
Right. Let him run the offense, I run the defense.
Basically,
that's it,
you know. But hey, here we are.
it's like they always, again, man, I don't know what it is, but it seemed like they always trying to out-dumb the fucking room. Always. It's frustrating.
It is, man.
It's infuriating at this point. But like I said, it seemed like, again, and this is our head coach, and we can't deal with this. It's like we go through it time and time again. Ryan Poles, you felt that, okay, we need to upgrade at quarterback. We have an opportunity to make ourselves better at the position. I can respect, I don't agree with it, but I can respect it, right? Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to the head coaching position, we good. Mm-hmm. When it was better coaches available, Ben Johnson, who was a great offensive mind, offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, somebody came out openly saying that Ben Johnson was waiting for the Bears job to open up. He was waiting for that opportunity to be the Chicago Bears coach. Because he thought Eberflus was getting fired, and then when he didn't get fired, okay, well, he had another opportunity to get the Washington job, but then they brought him on, and then they also brought on Dan Quinn, and he withdrew his name and was like, I'm good. But he ultimately wanted the Chicago job.
Well, hell, he might get it.
Do y'all think this is a question too? And I just gotta ask it. I gotta ask this question because it pops into my mind sometimes. Do y'all think that the ownership doesn't want to get rid of Eberflus because they're so cheap that you know, hey, we don't want to be paying a guy just to walk away?
Because if you fire him,
I don't know what his contract is, 3, maybe 4 years or whatever.
Well, he in his final year, no.
He in his final year, you know? So, I mean, you know, see, that's the thing.
You want to make people go fucking crazy is if they go on here and say they gave this motherfucking extension?
Nah.
Oh, my God.
The only way you get an extension is they go on like a 3 or 4.
They got to go to the playoffs.
They got to look up 5 weeks from now, and they 9-4. They went on a 5-game winning streak.
Yeah.
That ain't happening with this schedule.
That ain't happening.
Not with this schedule.
The only way.
That ain't happening.
And you know what? If I don't think they were sold on him anyway either, because they would have extended him in the offseason.
Yeah, which means I don't know why. I think you should just. I felt when they were going.
They should have fired him.
Fired him, bro.
They should have fired him.
That was it. That was the move to make.
I think that was the move to make. And like I said, at the time, I was like, I can understand why they kept him, because he went 5-2 over the last 7. And things was looking up. But see, that's what you're saying, and that we don't want to happen now. It's like, man, you don't even want, you know, you want the Bears to win and be good, but at the same time.
No, they cook, bro. He getting fired. They cook, bro. He getting fired.
If they get hot, we're going to have to keep this dude, man.
He getting fired. So we had to win these 2 games. We had to win these actually 3 games. We had to win. We had to beat the Commanders. We had to beat the Cardinals. We had to beat the damn Patriots in order to split with everyone else in our division in order to make the playoffs. We would have made it.
What else is funny is like all the people that was, you know, Justin Fields is 10-28 as a Bears quarterback, and then you look up and it's like Eberflus. Away games is 3-18. 0-18 on Sundays.
Sunday.
You can't win.
You just can't win.
You can't win, bro.
Fuck.
That's crazy to me, man.
Something has to ring a bell here, because it seemed like all former players, right? When they leave Chicago, from Justin Fields to Roquan Smith, you know what I'm saying? All these cats, when they leave, they say the coaching is far better than what I received when I was there. Far better. Far better.
Well, I mean, look at who they hire, though. You know, every time it's
they hire startups. They hire startups.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, only startup they didn't hire was Lovie Smith was a startup, too.
But yeah. John Fox was past his prime.
John Fox was past his prime.
He was done. You know, they hired Trestman. He's from Canada, whatever.
Oh, Bruce Arians, bro.
Yeah.
After he held it down for Chuck Pagano and proved himself to be a good NFL coach, they're like, nah, let's hire Mark Trestman. That's what I'm saying, bro.
And Mark Trestman has been around the league for 30 plus years.
And ain't never been given a head coaching gig.
Never had a head coaching job. Never was considered for
Tim Brown cussed him clean out. Like, he ain't shit. That motherfucker don't know what he's doing. Tim Brown. Like, damn.
But that's what the Bears do. They hire him, and then they get Matt Nagy, who was the lowest guy on that tree Andy Reid, right?
I want to find out what that's the crazy. Hell is it that Eric Bieniemy did to get treated the way he's being treated at this point in the game, especially in the NFL after winning how many Super Bowl rings? 2? 3? 2? 2?
Yeah.
I want to know, what did he do? What? It seemed like it's an unspoken, you know, don't. What is it? Don't see, don't tell, or don't. Some shit like that.
Yeah.
What did he do? That's what I want to know. What did he do? Because nothing could be this egregious to the point where you giving these other retread ass coaches that's been utter failures in the NFL opportunities, but yet he cannot get an opportunity to save his life.
Maybe he was doing like Ime Udoka, smashing somebody.
It gotta be something.
It gotta be something.
On those terms. It gotta be something.
Somebody's wife, bro. The owner's wife or something.
It gotta be something on those terms. Gotta be.
Cause I'm like, bro, nope, you blackball, bro.
Yeah, like there's no way he has to go to college and call an office for a college. Come on, man, that's crazy as hell. He would be perfect for this quarterback and for this team. He would be perfect because he would call guys to the carpet just like he was doing in Kansas City. Flat out. Flat out. He put his quarterback in good situations to succeed and good best situations to win the whole nine. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I just
maybe
don't.
He just interviews bad. He go in there and stumbles over his words or something. I mean, that's crazy, though. Like you said, I mean, it got to be something that he did to where the whole league is looking over him. It don't make sense.
Don't even mention
his name.
Maybe
they're just not talking about it. It's crazy.
Don't even mention his name. Like, damn, dog, y'all treat him like Mark Jackson. Like, damn. Mark Jackson can't catch a break in the NBA. Not even a broadcast no more. You know he signed up to broadcast for the Knicks, and then they pulled him, and then they pulled the contract after they done already told him he gonna do it. Like, yeah, we gonna go with you, bruh. And that's right crazy. Before they went on air, it was like, dog, that's it. I ain't got nothing else, man. You look. Next week we play the fucking Patriots. Whatever.
That's a dub, though. That's a dub. We taking a dub on that.
I hope so.
5-4. Here we come.
Optimism, huh? Optimism. Are we on the road or we at home?
We at home.
Oh, we win at home. We can't. If it was on the road, let's just write an M on the board, bro.
Especially if it was a Sunday.
Yeah. They gonna knock Drake May around. So I think we'll get the dub. Barely.
I don't have a score. I can't predict one. I don't know how this is gonna turn out. I'm 50-50 either way. We could win. We could lose. I don't know. Drake May could have a fucking magical performance. It seems like everybody plays above and beyond their ability when they play us. So, I don't know. I can't call it.
I don't think so. I think
we beat the Patriots, man. I think Patriots are like a bottom 7 team in the league. We got to beat them.
Yeah. If we don't beat them, we might go 0-11.
Mark my words on this, folks. This will probably be our last win of the season. I'm dead ass serious. Unless we eke out something like a fart later on down the damn line, but I just don't see it happening. Like a wet fart. It's like a blip on the radar, like that time we upset Seattle in Seattle. It's like, oh shit, they won? Like, hey, that's just how I see it, but that's all I got.
That's all I got.
That's it, man. Y'all take it easy, man. We appreciate y'all too.
All right, man. Stay up, man. Keep the faith, Bear fans.
Yeah. Bear down. Whatever faith it is left. Jesus.
Try to bear down.
It's all bad. God help us.